put on top there. We've seen the certain spots there, there are certain spots that they, they feel on the top of your head that you're supposed to do the punctures on for bleeding. And the same way with the eyes on a person who's going blind, they always feel that it was too much pressure from the blood, and they would puncture certain parts by the eyes, some of them still feel between the eyes and some through the side, and bleed them, and the pressure that removes, when that pressure is removed, then the side would become normal.
Right, so often, oh, we had that done, we put it on the instrument. His birthday, no one did it. It tried in Yukon Territory, Bob Silkwater, he had that done. And he's always had that done, because he suffers with some kind of eye disease, and he was working on his ear, had that done for a long time.
So could it be something like that for a little wine too? I don't know.
Yeah, a couple of black
ones. A couple of black ones. A couple of black ones. A couple of black ones. A couple of black ones. They bleed them right through here and also the tip of the nose. Right, yeah. And through the tip of the nose. When my grandmother had snow blindness, she had us pick blackberries in the spring, and with the juice of the blackberries put drops in her eyes, and then also she had us take granulated sugar and burst them, make them into powder, and they put the powder into her eyes so her eyelids could clean her eyes. And they used teeth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were wrong teeth. Listen, teeth for drops on the eyes.
Dorothy's question about sugar. Dorothy's about sugar. What was used for bleeding when there was no bleeding?
When they wanted to eat something sweet, they ate berries.
And no more to put rich fat in the fat was dropped off. Put those on coffee.
First question. It's good to
know. Was there bread? Yeast and bread?
Thank you.
Ma voi venite con la prima meditoria?
Well, they didn't have their babies lying down, for one thing. They were in a sitting position when they had their children, and pressing down and getting them born. And in olden days, when there were a lot of taboos that the people lived, a woman didn't have her children at home. A little snow house in the winter or a little shelter in the summer was made for her, and she bore her children all by herself. And if she didn't know what to do or needed help, then somebody would shout instructions at her, because they were not allowed to assist her. If they did, they would surely die, and they did, I guess, sometimes, and that's why they were strict at the time about that, and the women had their babies all by themselves. But they didn't have their babies and they were lying down in the position. They squatted and had the gravity help them give birth to their babies. Down there to Tominic, with Gayle, Panapolima, Pogilla, that would be the Christopher, Pomina. If not, I don't know what the cooling is there for Mamma. I think it's not the honey. The chicken is the happiness. Come on, the honey, the lowest, the honey, the Nicaragua, that is the lowest, eh? Pomina, can you figure my little fluid? I guess in later times when the women would have midwives, the woman would she put her leg in the back and grab hold of her up here and let her rest her back on the knee back here. And hold her and help her. Now you know. Now I know.
Okay, what am I doing, Jason? But if she go in labor, we can try it.
The
mothers took care of, when they gave birth by themselves, of course, they had to take care of that themselves. So they, everything, they cut everything, tied the baby and everything themselves. But I don't know, maybe later on when they had helpers, maybe the midwives helped them.
Could we have a discussion on what advice to give families now on health and child care?
Well, who to say yes to be? Hannah?
Like Sharon, she's careful, you know. Just love her body healthy and child in a few minutes, she'll have a baby. Are there certain things that you would advise her?
Breastfeed the baby at least once, three.
Mamma,
kommer ju att fortsätta
med den. And if they didn't, they wanted a baby that didn't drool a lot, they would take the dried umbilical cord, you know, from the belly button, and sew it on to the front of the child's clothing, and that is supposed to prevent it from drooling.
Is there anything that a new mother should eat to help with her milking?
The lot may sound in that kind of food in the pH. Shasta that. Unago, new mother, mama. Baby, new little cat, there are taroni. Kuwaitu ni jo bagun ni do kani alai su sua kani na kai sua kani su malu ni su na kai ku sa go ni ni ti ku ni ni jo bagi ni ku su sua ni ni ti ti la kuwaitu ni jo ni ku su ta sa ni la ni ti ta na su malu ni ni ti kai ku ta ti su ma ni la ni ni a si ti na ku sa ni go ni
The advice from the old folks to the new mother was that when you're breastfeeding your child, you should breastfeed in a happy frame of mind. That you shouldn't be weepy and sad and worried and all that during that time that they're feeding the baby. And I guess it has to do with the mother-child relationship. And our folks always say that a baby knows, you know, they sense things. And I guess this is another way that they feel the security in the family and know that they are loved. And we've got a lot of what Mr. Bean and the thing is even they all would advise the breastfeeding mother to eat well and to drink a lot of fluids. Either a lot of water, probably in the earlier times, a lot of broth. Whatever was helpful also for the child. I'm going to go to the hospital.
ser la cramun a los que se hizo su vida y con carne a los que se hizo
Well, you know, in Mother's Day, they did this person, and they were advised not to get the baby used to being held on the lap, because once it gets used to that, then you wouldn't have time to do anything. That if the baby needed your closeness, then pack it on your back and do your work, you know. But they said the baby that's accused of being held on the lap, waste your time. grows up, you know, it just takes on these characteristics.
when things are said to him in infancy. And the advice was that while the children, the infants are babies, before they start becoming aware of right and wrong, you know, of their surroundings, say till about 3 or 4, sometimes it's 4, sometimes it's 3, younger, that depends on, you know, how certain kids are. Some kids seem to get sensible quicker than others, and some don't, and some take longer. Up until that time, then you treat them gently, you know, you tell them no, and yes, and you shall, and so forth, but you don't censor until they're old enough to learn from the spanking situation and why they're getting that punishment. And the other thing that they always told them that has the children, the babies, the little kids, you don't shove. You just didn't shove them around. A child that gets shoved around at an early age like that always ends up fighting, getting into fights. Because at that beginning, getting shoved around.
Are there any other things we'd like to put in? We can add some tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be meeting at 9:30, and we should be thinking about what we want to add to this, and maybe one or two other things that we as a group want to contribute.
One of the wise tales in the thing that they advised the girls as they were growing up was that whenever your mother or some other person tells the girl to do an errand, she is not to say after a while. She's supposed to do it right now, immediately, you know, and do whatever she was told to do immediately. Because when she grows up and she's ready to have her baby, those early habits will show up, and the baby will want to be born, and she'll want the baby to be born, but it will say, after a while. So if you don't want a long labor, you know, get your girl.
She didn't know what it meant. And she said, ooh, you start crying.
Another thing that the, I guess the preoccupation was with bearing children with the girls and the raising of girls. And they'd take a young girl, a young porcupine, and take a young porcupine and put it right through their parking, right through their front, and let it